Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Pilgrims should be making progress. All of us are Christians. I think most everybody in this building is a professing Christian. But the Bible identifies us as pilgrims and strangers. Several places in the New Testament, we are, as Christians, we are called pilgrims and strangers. The words are almost the same word. The word stranger just means an alien or a foreigner. The only difference between a stranger and a pilgrim is a pilgrim who is someone that is traveling. He's a stranger. He's an alien, but he's also on a journey. He's going somewhere. So that kind of separates the pilgrim from the stranger. Some of the verses, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul. So we recognize that we're foreigners, we're strangers, we're pilgrims, and that we should be making progress in our walk with the Lord. Amen. Another place is also in Hebrews chapter 11, which is known as the faith chapter, which is also talking about the Christian's journey and what should be the focus of the journey that we're on as Christians. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. So you and I are identified in the Word of God. Every believer is identified as a stranger and a foreigner. And we're in this world, but we're travelers in this world. We're strangers, we're aliens, which means that this is not our home. Our citizenship is somewhere else. But we are placed here in this world for a particular time, allotted days, and it's all a part of God's plan for our lives. You see, as Christians, it's impossible to stand still. You can't stay where you are. It's wonderful to become a Christian, to be saved, to know the Lord, but it's not a wonderful thing for you to stay at that very same location. You have to keep moving. You have to keep traveling. Remember, you're a pilgrim. You're on your way to a destination. The scripture defines that place as a heavenly city. It's been made by God, a place created for us, and we're not to get so settled in to this world that we forget about the purpose that we have been created. Amen. That's to be with him throughout all of eternity, and that's the thing that we set our sights on, and our eyes are to be fixed upon that heavenly destination. Amen. So we can't stand still. Either you're moving forward toward God's purpose, toward God's plan for your life, or you're like the children of Israel who didn't have enough faith to enter into the promised land, and they ended up wandering around. aimlessly in the wilderness for 40 years. And that whole generation died there in the wilderness. It was the next generation that was able to enter into the promised land. But that generation died without receiving the promise. They never saw the fulfillment of the desire of their heart because of their lack of faith and confidence in the Lord. So you and I are pilgrims. We're not to get too settled in here in this world. We're not to get too adjusted to the ways of the world. We're not to acclimate to what's going on in this world. We're here, but we're here for a purpose. And that purpose is not to identify with the world, to be like the world, to take on the thinking and the philosophy of this world. But we're here to represent Jesus Christ. We're here to represent the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a calling and a purpose. And as pilgrims, we need to be on the move, always growing, always learning, always progressing in this walk that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you know where you're headed. I hope that you understand that the plan of God and the purpose of God, because what God has for us is really, it boils down to just a couple of things. First of all, that this life and this pilgrimage, this journey in this world, on this side of heaven, is to be what God wants you to be. To use this span of years that God gives to you. And none of us really know the length of time that we have. None of us know. We just know that God has allotted to us a certain number of days, a certain number of years, and we don't know how long that is. We just know that God's plan is that we use this time for the glory of God, that we use this time to promote the gospel, that we've been called to live a life that's not in step with the world or the ways of this world. It's a big mistake to think that you can act, talk, identify with what's going on in this world and try to fit in with this world, because we were never called to do that. We're pilgrims. We're strangers. We're aliens. Now, that doesn't mean that we're to be a people that don't have a place in the culture. We do, and we should. We should be working and being used of the Lord to make a difference in this world. For you see, where you were born, the time that you were born, where God has placed you, even the family that He put you in, all of those things were preordained by God. God arranged those before you were born. It was not an accident. By the way, no baby is an accident. Amen. Amen. God has a plan for every life. And that life is the best possible outcome that you could ever experience in the days that you have. Doing the will of God and following the will of God, you'll experience the best possible outcome for your life if you'll serve Jesus. Amen. Serving Jesus, as the song says, serving Jesus really pays. It's the right life to live. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Now grasp this if you can. The God of the universe, the creator of everything, the God who is omnipotent, the God who is all-knowing, the God who created everything that exists and placed everything into motion, that God thinks about you. Isn't that pretty hard to imagine? That God has you on His mind. And not only does He think about you now, but He has a plan for your life that was ordered even before you were born. Before your life even existed, God had a plan. God was thinking about you. That's a big thought right there. That's too great to even hardly comprehend. But it's the truth. And it's a wonderful truth. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Another version says, to give you a hope and a future. That God's plan is a good plan. It's His design. It's His purpose. And when you become a Christian, you begin in the pathway of discovering what that plan is. If you're living in sin, if you don't know the Lord, if you haven't surrendered to God, then you're on a pathway right now and you'll never be able to discover God's plan for your life. You're going in opposite direction. You're doing things with your life and your time that may seem important to you, but you're never going to get on the pathway of righteousness. You're never going to get on the pathway that pleases God until you start off by surrendering your heart and your life to Jesus. You have to be born again. You have to be saved. And you know, you can do that when you're very young. Little children can do that when they're young. Youth and teenagers can do it when they're very young. And God can begin to speak to their hearts and deal with them about their future and their life when they're little children. Sister Lavana Innes, who spent all of her life in Africa, her adult life for the most part, in Africa, Nigeria, and now another, the Gambia and other places in Africa. She felt called to missions when she's just a little bitty girl, I believe 11 years old, when she first felt God calling her to missions and specifically to Africa. And then later on, she met Scott. Later on, they were married and then set out in the pathway. And you know, there's no greater joy than knowing the plan of God and knowing that you're right in step with His calling and His purpose for your life. You're a stranger, you're a foreigner, you're a pilgrim, but you need to be making some progress. And that progress begins when you get born again, when you are truly saved, when you come. It starts when you begin to follow Jesus Christ with your whole heart. And then from that moment on, your steps are ordered of the Lord. Or at least can be, if you stay in step with Him and follow the plan of God and pay close attention to the purpose and the will of God. Amen. I don't know about you, as time goes by and things that are happening in our world, I feel more and more like a stranger. I feel more and more like a foreigner. Like, what is going on? The thinking and the ways of the world and the things that are being determined by those in authority to be right are so opposite of the Word of God. And I'm just thinking, I'm so out of step with the ways of this world. And I'm convinced that the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more that we're going to realize we're out of step with this world. But that doesn't mean we don't have a purpose here. We do. We have a calling. Of course, our ultimate goal is to get to heaven. Amen. To make it to heaven. And that we need to be mindful of that wonderful promise that we have. And that is that we are to be moving forward. And our ultimate goal is to fulfill God's will in this life. And then we come to the end of this life, that we step into the presence of God. And then will be revealed all the glories of heaven that we cannot imagine. All that's been prepared for us as the children of God. You see, well, that all sounds wonderful. Well, the writer here in Hebrews chapter 5 describes a problem, the obstacle that's in the pathway. He said, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Really what he's describing is we need to move on into deeper teachings and to learn more about the depth of Christ and the things of God. He said, but there's a problem. And the problem is you're dull of hearing. That doesn't mean that they couldn't hear. It doesn't mean the teacher was dull. It means that the word dull or dull of hearing, it means a lazy hearer. It really describes someone that's not really all that interested. That apathy has kind of settled in and slothfulness has settled in. And when it comes to learning difficult things or deeper things or learning to walk with the Lord on a whole new level, a lot of times Christians back up from that. We like the plain and the simple. And I understand that the simplicity of the gospel. We have to remember, though, that God has called us to be moving. We got to be progressing. We got to be learning more and more and more. Now, some of you are probably thinking, well, I'm too old to learn anything else. You know, I never have believed that old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's not the truth. You know, you can still learn. and you can still grow, and you can still progress in your walk with the Lord. You can still learn more about Jesus. You can still learn more about His plan and His purpose for your life. It matters not how old you are. In years, you can still learn new things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I really do believe that. But to be dull of hearing, it just means you don't really want to hear. You don't really care. You're just kind of satisfied with what you are and where you are. You're not interested in learning new things or developing in your walk with the Lord. You're not interested in growing in your knowledge of the Lord or deepening your fellowship with the Lord. You're just kind of satisfied where you are. And that's a mistake, because pilgrims need to be making progress all the time. We need to be moving forward. We need to be learning, moving up to new levels of growth and grace, moving into the deeper understandings of the things of God. Every step that we take, we are learning more about Jesus, more about Jesus, more about His purpose, more about His plan, more about the wonderful things that He has in store for His people. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. What was going on in Enoch's life? Well, he was a special man who walked with God, who had daily fellowship with the Lord, which means he was progressing. He was always growing. He was always getting closer to the Lord. And one day, he just took one big step, and that step, he was just ushered into the presence of God. He just kept getting higher and higher and higher and higher in his walk with the Lord, until finally the Lord just says, well, this will just be one pretty good step. Just come on up, Enoch, and step up a little higher here. And he ascended into the presence of God. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. He just ushered him into the presence of the Lord. I'm convinced, well, I know with certainty, that every Christian should be growing in the knowledge of the Lord, no matter how long you've served the Lord or even how old you are. I said that older folks can learn. Us older folks can learn. As a matter of fact, I was reading some statistics that relate to those that are entering into colleges and universities. At the highest rate ever are older people. And it's almost to the point that those 25 and older are a higher number, percentage-wise, than those that are right out of high school going into college and universities. It's people, when they get a little older and they get a few years on them, and then I saw pictures of older folks, you know, pure white-headed, walking down the halls of colleges and universities, because somehow they just decided, I may be old, but I can still learn a few things. Sister Huff's sister, Evelyn, it's pretty amazing. She's 89, almost 90. And if they have a problem, if something breaks down at their house, they don't call a repairman. She fixes it. And she has the most amazing ability. She will invent things to fix problems. She'll put up ceiling fans. She can just do it. And if she can't do it, she'll figure it out. She'll learn how to do it. She'll Google it and figure out how to do it. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can keep learning to do things. You can still keep growing in the knowledge of the Lord. I'm convinced that one of the greatest untapped resources in the body of Christ are older folks, like a lot of you and me. Us older folks. We have a lot to offer. Amen. I've talked to younger pastors before who talk about, yeah, but that church, all it is just a bunch of old people. And I just say, wait a minute. Because it's kind of getting kind of personal now when they say that. But these old folks are a rich resource. Not only do they have years of experience, not only do they have just natural abilities and a lot of wisdom that they can offer to the younger generation, which I believe is a very biblical thing, that the older teach and instruct the younger. But usually it's the older folks that's got any money to give. It's the older folks the young folks are barely surviving. And it's the older folks that can give and support a church. And I've told some younger pastors who talk about, well, the church is just a bunch of old people. Oh, you got to have these old folks. They're really an important part of the body of Christ. Amen. Everybody that's over 55, say amen. That's a pretty good amen. Amen. The problem is, it's being described here in Hebrews, is when we get to the place that we're dull of hearing, or we just really aren't interested in growing or learning. We don't have any desire, no motivation, no interest in learning more about the things of God. That is a serious problem. You can learn. You can grow. I get a little bit, it's a little comical to me, Sister Huff will say, I was reading this book the other day, and I never even heard of the book. And she's coming up with some resources that I'd never heard of. She's learning some things that I surely don't know. And I think that all of us need to understand that there's some things in the kingdom of God that we can do no matter what position or place you are in life. You need to be progressing. You need to be growing. You need to be learning. You need to be developing into what God wants you to be. That's the plan of God. It's never the will of God that we just stop, become idle, and just stay what we are and just kind of hold on till the end. That's not the will of God. Get busy, stay busy, keep learning, keep growing, continue to develop in the knowledge of the Lord and the things of the Lord, and just see how God might use you no matter what stage in life that you might be. The apostle here is describing a people who were dull of hearing. This is what he says. He said, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You should be instructing. You should be helping others. You should be teaching others instead of waiting to be helped and taught and blessed. And, you know, sometimes folks come to church with that attitude. Just bless me today. Just bless me. Somebody sing a song and bless me. Somebody say something that'll help me and bless me. When in actuality, what God has called us to do is bless one another. Amen. To do something, to minister to one another. And when the time that we ought to be teachers, we're still wanting to be kind of babied. And it's kind of nice to be a baby, isn't it? I mean, babies have it made. We've got a few around our house right now this week. Babies demand all of your attention. And all they have to do is let out a little whimper, and grandma comes running. And it's really the great life. You just sit in your little padded Elmo chair and just say, you know, one word, juice. And grandma runs to the kitchen and brings them a little thing of juice. And then they'll say, go fish. And then she'll run and get them some little snacks. And they've got it made. I mean, it's the perfect life. But nobody wants to stay babies forever. Years ago, I worked for CompCare, and I worked with mentally handicapped adults. And one of the most sad things is to work with people who are grown adults who have the developmental age of small children or even babies. Of course, it's not a choice of theirs. It's a developmental issue that they have. They can't really help themselves. But learning some of the smallest tasks that little babies and children can learn, they have a hard time learning. I mean, one of the skills that we worked on with them was just things like tying their shoes. That a small child learns that when they're very young, but these are adults in their 20s, 30s, and maybe even older, that they can't perform the simplest little task. How sad it is to see them in a predicament that they are in and can't seem to learn. But that's not the case with you and I as believers. We have the aptitude, we have the ability, and we should have the desire and the motivation. I want to grow more. I want to learn more. I want to do something for the kingdom of God. I want to be used of the Lord. And there should be, and even today, something stirred up in your heart that says, I don't really know all that I need to know, but I want to learn. I want to develop in the things of God. And so he said there's a problem, and that's dullness of hearing, lack of interest, no desire to hear And he said, really, these are hard things to teach, but it's really hard to instruct you in these difficult lessons if you could care less. You're not interested in learning. You're dull of hearing. But instead, you'd just rather have milk. You just really just want to have be like a little baby and just have these and you don't want to ever develop. You know that things like chewing your food are learned behaviors. They're not just instinctively given to you. I've mentioned this before, talked to you about this many years ago when we adopted Zach in Romania, and we brought him back from Romania into our family. He was 2 years old, and he had never had solid food. He had mostly milk and pureed food. That's all he had had. He had a mouthful of teeth, but he didn't know how to chew. And the reason that he didn't is because he'd never had the opportunity. There was no reason to chew. It was pureed vegetables or something of that sort, and then just drink. And they did that because there were so many children in the orphanages that they just would go down the line and give them a bite, and they would gulp, and they would never chew. So whenever we put food in Zach's mouth when he was just a baby, he didn't know how to chew it. He would cry. We would put even the junior baby food with small little chunks, we would put that in his mouth. He didn't know what to do with it. He didn't know how to chew it. He would just cry and roll it around in his mouth. He didn't know how to chew. You know, in all of our, but you know, he didn't stay in our family very long. He realized, I'm going to have to chew or I'm going to starve to death around here. Because he looked around the table and everybody else was chewing big time. We were all chewing meat and potatoes and everything else that we had to eat. And he watched. And after a while, he eventually watched enough people chewing that he realized, I can see what they're doing. And they look like they're having a good time doing it. So I think I'm going to try it. And he learned how to do it. Do you understand this morning that if you really want to know more about God, if you want to gain ground spiritually, you can. Every pilgrim needs to be making progress. So he said, you should have the ability to teach others, but instead, you're still needing to be taught yourself. All you're interested in is milk. You're not interested in meat. But notice verse 14, the last verse of our text. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. It just means those that are mature, those that grow up. Now, around the church, and I've been around it all of my life, there are people that never see their need to mature in the things of the Lord. What they were doing and how they were living, their lifestyle and everything about them, it's still like it was when they first got saved. Now, we have patience with people that when they first come to the Lord, and because we know that they're just little babies in Christ. And we help them and we encourage them and we want to do all that we can. But when they've been around serving the Lord for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, they're no longer should they be immature in the things of God. When they're around the church and around the people of God, they should grow up into spiritual maturity. One of the most important signs or benefits of this is listed here in this verse. It says, strong meat belongs to them that are full age, those that mature in the Lord, and have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. One of the main reasons why that across the country and sometimes in many churches across the country, hopefully it isn't going on here, people are doing things and living in such a way that's absolutely opposite of the Word of God. They're ignoring the Word of God. They're living their life in a way that totally disregards the teaching of the Scripture. How can they do that? And why would they do that? It's because they haven't grown up and matured in the knowledge of the Lord and the Word of God. And so instead, when you mature, then you discern good and evil. One of the most important qualities, attributes of a mature Christian is his ability that comes, then he is able to discern right and wrong, good and evil. And oh, how we need that today. How we need that in our lives. How we need to grow up and to mature to that place Because there are going to be times when you can't call the preacher, you can't call mom and dad, you can't call someone else that you have a lot of spiritual confidence in. There are going to be times that you're going to have to look at the situation, pray about it, and say, what does the Word of God say? And make a decision. Is this right or is this wrong? Will this please God or is this against the Word of the Lord? Someone who is making spiritual progress, that means you are maturing. Your senses are developed to the point that you're able to discern right and wrong, good and evil. Amen. Every pilgrim needs to be making some progress. Growing up in the knowledge of the Lord. Growing up in the things of the Lord. Don't expect that you should be just like you were when you first got saved. You should be growing and developing and learning Christ and learning the principles of the Word of God. And you're changing and progressing and growing and developing into someone that is mature in Jesus. Amen. That's what should be happening in all of our lives. We are strangers, we are pilgrims in this world, but every Christian, every pilgrim needs to be moving forward, growing and developing in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. Now this morning, if you're not a Christian, that's the starting point. That's where it all begins. But if you've been saved for a while and you're not making any progress, you're not really growing in the things of the Lord, God has provided for us a wonderful, wonderful textbook on how to grow and learn. And here it is, God's Word. Amen. Begin spending more time in the Word of the Lord. Take advantage of every opportunity you have. Sunday school, church services, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every opportunity that you have, prayer meetings, every opportunities that you have to be in the house of God, in the presence of God, so that you can learn and grow and develop and make progress. Amen. In the ways of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you provided for us, Lord, a wonderful plan. And that plan is to be fulfilled doing your will throughout the days of our life. I know, Lord, that you have a plan for every individual in this service today. And that plan includes growth. It includes spiritual progress. That's your will. We're not to stay babes. We're not to stay immature in the things of the Lord. It is your will that we grow, that we develop, that we learn more and more about you. And Lord, I just pray that there would be a stirring in our minds and our hearts. Today we recognize that there's so much that you have for us. So much. But Lord, we've become somewhat disinterested and lazy, indifferent towards spiritual things. Help us, Lord, to press in, to dig in, to grow, to move forward, to be used of the Lord, and to fulfill your plan for our lives. And we know we can only do that, Lord, as we are spiritual pilgrims moving forward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.